together, the body of Christ, the ministry of Christ. It's He that brings us together. It is He that gives us strength, protection, success. And just want to talk real simple, right down to earth, but it's something yet at the same time that's very important. Open your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to read the last verse of the fourth chapter to kind of set the stage here. And that last verse of the fourth chapter reads, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." It's important that you learn how to open your spiritual eyes, that you're able to see. You know, our Father's in a different dimension. That's why in flesh and blood we cannot see Him, unless He so chooses. But was of old time said, no one can live and see the face of God. Well, we're in a different dimension. That's simple. Okay, no big deal to it. Father loves us. That's the way it is. But you want to look in your life for things that some people can't see. Well, what are we talking about? Eternal salvation. The fact that God has a ministry right here in the middle of everyone, even this troubled world. And it's going to go on. He's going to choose people. He's going to lead people. And when you look to that can't be seen with the eye, you feel that the Holy Spirit brings to us abundantly. Verse 1, chapter 5, 2 Corinthians. "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands," human hands that is, "eternal in the heavens." In other words, you have two bodies. You have one that can't be seen in this dimension. Do you know something? It's a lot better. It's your eternal body. If you earn it, if you're worthy, if you love Him, if you're together with Him. Verse 2, "For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven." That's just something we all look forward to, but we got work to do here. We got work to do in the ministry. We have work to do in the flesh. Do you realize that your very life itself sets examples and causes people to say, "Why does that person have such peace of mind?" The reason being, you have the Father. You have something maybe they can't see. But then if you touch them just right, you will bring it into their sight. And they will feel. Okay. Verse 3. "If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked." In other words, your righteous acts make up the robes that you wear in heaven. Period. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan. I mean, it's we have problems. "Being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up of life." Mortality, mortal means liable to die. Okay? That's what the word in the Greek means, liable to die. So we want it swallowed up, and we want that eternal. And you find that eternal by loving Him, by being a part of Him, by following Him, by seeing that most people couldn't see. But He's there. "For He has promised, I will never leave thee, I will never forsake thee." You know something? He won't. He's with you always when you desire Him, when you request Him. Verse 5. "Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God," the Father, "who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit." This word earnest is a legal term. It means a guarantee. He's guaranteed you the Holy Spirit, that when you seek Him and when you want that touch, where that leadership. He promised the Holy Spirit. Do you know something? On the 40th day, he ascended. And on the 50th day came the Holy Spirit. What is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Almighty God and the Son. That Spirit is with you when you... It's your guarantee. That's what that word means, is earnest. It's like down payment, okay? A legal term in that sense. Verse 6. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. In other words, to be present in this body is to be absent from the Lord, but to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. That's simple. That you don't see, this you do. Okay? And how beautiful it is that we have that ability to have the presence of the Holy Spirit to enlighten us, to teach us, to guide us. Verse 7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. That is something you must always allow your faith to grow stronger and stronger and stronger. And every time the Holy Spirit touches you, your faith should grow stronger. That you can't see, but you can certainly feel, that you can certainly be aware of. That is something that you will always have. That is that very thing that he promises. We walk by faith and not by sight. You walk because you know that Father is with us, though we cannot see him. Verse 8, we are confident. I mean, that means we know. I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. If it came to that, that's fine. No problem. Ultimately, that's what we work forward to. But again, we've got stuff to do. We have work to do. You might say, well, what is that? Well, look at the troubled world. They need help. And God sent you as a witness to be an example. Verse 9, wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. We want to please him. We want to be in his goodwill. Why? It brings his blessings. And when he blesses you, it is just fantastic that he leads, he guides, he directs, he touches. Verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ that everyone may receive the things done in this body, that's the flesh body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And naturally, this is the judgment seat of Christ, is when the book of life, you look, and whichever side of the gulf you're to go on, you go there. Okay? If it's bad, you don't go to hell, you go to the opposite side of the paradise and wait for the millennium. What a fantastic thing our Father has done to bring salvation to the world for those who will choose. Now, I'm going to tell you something. It's not going to be a happy day for those that it's all bad. Especially when he made it so easy for you to repent. For you to say, Father, I did wrong. I repent. Forgive me. And he does just like that. He loves you. And that's why if you don't want anything bad there, you want to keep in touch. Love him as he loves you. Okay? And verse 11, knowing therefore the terror, translated the fear, okay, which can go reverence also, of the Lord, we persuade men. In other words, you try to persuade men to be believers, to accept the Lord. That's what you try to do. Just not making some great splash, but just by your very life. You know, people can see a face that's content. People can see a face that has peace of mind. They're drawn to it. That is a witness from above. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. So it is true that it is our obligation to persuade men. That's what the ministry is about. And I can say one thing, you can be real happy being a part of this ministry, for we reach hundreds of new people every day. Every day. They come from all parts of the world, searching for truth, for guidance, for leadership. Leadership from what? God's Word. And bless your hearts, we're able, with the power and platform that God has given us, made available around the world, that we can do just that. Okay? And it's a blessed ministry, the ministry of Christ. We're all a part of it, equally. We're together in that. We're the many-membered body. And we do try to persuade men. Verse 12, for we commend not ourselves again unto you. Paul, he says, we don't want to brag any, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that you may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance. That's to say, they preach and they look like preachers, and not in heart. They don't have it inside. That's to say, people that try to, false preachers, okay? False leaders. There will always be a burden, but you can overcome that with truth. Truth will always prevail. Why? It just touches. It's real, okay? Verse 13. For whether we be beside ourselves, he's saying here, even if you want to consider me to be a little bit mad, okay, it is to God. It's because I am so enthusiastic about this truth. You may think I'm just over carried away with it, but it's because of the depth of the truth that excites me, he says. It is to God, or whether we be sober, that's to say, of sound mind, it is for your cause, is bringing that truth, that wisdom. The reason we came here is in the next verse. I want you to learn a Greek word, okay? Let's read it. Verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. I want you to learn that word constrain in the Greek. The love of Christ constrained us. Well, that word in the English kind of means it constrains you, but it's more than that. It's two Greek words. And it is spelled S-U-N-E-C-K-O. And it's pronounced in the Greek tongue, spelled sun echo, like two English words, only it's pronounced in the Greek, sunico. Okay. Now what does it mean? It's two words. Sun means union and together and held there. Okay. That's strong. This word is not just used in every chapter. You're only going to find it in one or two places in the whole Word of God. Okay. It means His love holds you together. And an echo in the Greek means it means to compress or to press you. And I want you to think about that word just a moment, because if you're really a Christian, you felt it. You feel pressed to share. You feel pressed to share truth. You can't stand it. You can't help yourself. The love of Christ that does that, the Holy Spirit. Sunico, God, through the love of Christ, holds us together in a many-membered body and presses us to share that feeling, that truth, that love, that leadership. That's what Christ's love will do for you if you'll accept it. You can't, well, can I see it? No, no, you can't. You can feel it, though. And that seeing, in a sense, is knowing He's real and He does touch you. How fantastic our Father's Word. You don't have to learn the Greek word if you don't want to, but don't forget the true meaning of it, because the English kind of falls short. The love of Christ binds us into a body and compresses us to have to carry forth that ministry, regardless of what. It's just paramount. It's just what we do. And that is what makes you a Christian with eternal life. Such an important scripture. It means together. Okay. Verse 15. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, or for themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. If he gives you eternal life, you need to try to share that with others. That's what the press is. That's what that press is that presses you to share truth. You know, some of you even get so carried away that you go too far sometimes. You know, that pressure. Somebody wants a little word and you dump the whole load on them all at one time, you know, and that pressure will do that. Okay. Always gentle, like you're fishing for men, and there you have it. God, that we can't see, he's there. And he assures us. He leads us. He guides us. And that is our duty together as that many-membered body to press on into encouraging men. There's no gender in that. All people to accept his word. Verse 16, wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Because he's with the Father, of course. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. In other words, if Christ died for you, then that part of your life is over. Okay. He is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And you are a new creature. What? You can't see it, but you can feel it. It's there. And God so loves you because you take that step, because you become part of that togetherness. And I don't want you to lose the fact that suneko means that first word, sun, means the ability to hold together. He has that ability to hold together whereby you cannot, you don't want to break away from the truth. The truth grabs you and holds you, and you love it. Because why? It's eternal life. And it's from there that eternal life comes. And so it is. Verse 18, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. That's what it was about. And hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. That's why you reconcile. That's why you share that seed. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. What? Getting rid of sin. Destroying it. I mean through love, overshadowing it. Putting it out of lives, that Christ would so love you. His love would bring you to that point whereby you're a part of that reconciliation. You become a part of it. The reconciliation, that ministry that Christ brings forth. How fantastic. Let's go with verse 20. Now, then, we are ambassadors for Christ. You are. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. So, there you go. That you are reconciled and you reconcile others. That's the way the ministry does grow. Verse 21, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin. He was innocent. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That through Seneca, through he, pulling you together. And that word together means exactly that, the many-membered body, in that ministry of reconciliation, a ministry that goes around the world, a ministry that finds new people every day by the hundreds. We thank our Father for that, because it takes the togetherness to accomplish that. The Spirit can't be seen, but you can sure feel it. And it is so ever real. So we, in a sense, have a better place, but we are sure got good work to do here, and this place is going to be straightened out, and it will be that better place ultimately. Heaven right here on earth. Let's go just a verse or two into the sixth chapter. We then as workers together, there's that word again, together as a body with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. Don't let it just be empty. Okay. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted. God does hear you. You don't even have to say it out loud. And in the day of salvation have I secured thee. I've helped you. Okay. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. It's here. And this is it. You can't earn that eternal life. Why? But being together, being a part of that family, the family of reconciliation, giving no offense in anything that the ministry be not blamed. In other words, always protecting that credibility that that ministry can go forth around the world innocently and carrying facts and data and truth that changes lives because it reconciles them to the living God. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, that's hard for people, okay? In much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, and in distress. In other words, trouble comes along. Satan likes to throw stuff in our path. Hey, that's okay. We can cut it. We can handle it. Now, drop down to verse, what do I want here? 14. Verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together. Okay, this is a no-no. This is what you don't get together with. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and that communion hath light with darkness? It doesn't. But now I want to make one thing very clear. A lot of people take this and they get on their goody-goody two-shoes and they're afraid to go around sinners. Okay, that's not yoking yourself to them. That's trying to help them, trying to reconcile them. Okay. You're not taking part in their goings-on. Okay? So you're not yoking yourself to them. You understand? In other words, you can help some. That's what God sent the church for, is to help sinners. Okay, not to shut itself away from them. They're the ones that are sick. They're the ones that need help. So that way, simply, don't yoke yourself, meaning participate in what they're doing to the point to make any points with them. Not right. Won't work, okay? And what accord, verse 15, and what accord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? We're in a time when infidels are around the world. And they do it, they're thing in the name of religion. So that's why this unequally yoked becomes very important. And yet at the same time, that banner, which is Christ, that standard must fly. It must be there. It must be there for whomsoever will, that wishes to reconcile, is reconciled to the Lord Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean we put up with baloney from anybody, okay? And at the same time, God gave us the right to defend ourselves, to protect ourselves, and to stick with the truth, but to do it in love. In closing, I want to go over to Ephesians, which about two books over. Ephesians, and let's take it, if we may, with the second chapter. With together being the thought, and that is you being together with our Father. That most people can't see, but you can feel it. And you know Him. And we as Christians can be together in that ministry. Chapter 2, the great book of Ephesians. First I want to say, remember chapter 1, verse 4, so we know who we're talking to in this book. I chose you to the elect. I chose you before the foundations of this earth. That's to say, I chose you before Satan's overthrow. Why? Because I know I could count on you. I know you can cut it. You stood against Satan then and you will again before you were ever born in the flesh. That's what that fourth verse of chapter 1 has to say, just to set the stage for this chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 1, and it reads, "And you hath he quickened," that means made alive, "who were dead in trespasses and sins." He picked you up. He gave you the truth. And He changed you. He changed you by bringing you together and compressing you into that family, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of the world, this world age, according to the prince of the power of the air, that's Satan, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. You don't have to look very far to see it, and it's sad. But that's all right. We have the victory. Among whom also we all had our conversion, a conversation rather, in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. We were born into this world. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us. God loves all of His children. Even sinners He loves. Why would Christ pay the price on the cross for sinners if He didn't love them? Okay, just get real with that, all right? Even when He didn't love what they're doing, but He loves His children. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us. He made us alive together. There's that word again, together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. I want you to know you are together with Christ. Christ is the head of the church. Christ is the head of the ministry. Christ is the one that was perfect and could pay the price. He is the one that we follow. He is the one that touches us. It is His Spirit that leads and guides us. It is His Spirit that holds us together, but at the same time presses that you want to share and you want to witness and you want to convince men, if you can, to find that same peace of mind that you possess, which is to say, the Holy Spirit. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace you are saved, verse 6, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit together, double togetherness here, okay, got it? In heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He has done that. And you can sit in those places. Why? He loves you. And you know something? When you carry that banner, you might say, well, what banner is that? Christ. That's a standard. It shows. It pleases Him very, very much. That in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. That's our contact. That's how He touches you. Again, people can't see it, but He's there, and it is very real. He gives that surety. That's a guarantee. And that guarantee is yours for the taking, for the believing, for the following. Verse 8, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God." not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And so it is that we do walk in them together. What a ministry Christ has in the world today. Even in all the conflict that goes on, even in all the sadness in certain nations, Christ still has that ministry that marches on. Those Christian soldiers march. And sometimes we get some rough spells, but he always sees us through it. Why? He loves us. And he carries us through. That's why that one word, that Greek word, I don't like to use the Greek language a whole lot in teaching because it makes it difficult for certain people, but suneko, properly stated. What a beautiful thing that God has done for us, that he pulls us together and holds us together. That's what that word soon means, in union. But then at the same time, echo puts that pressure that the ministry cannot sit idle. And it cannot sit idle in you. If he gives you a truth, you're not going to put it under a bushel basket. You're not going to hide it. You're going to invest it. You're going to share it. That's what it's all about. Well, I wouldn't have thought that would have made a big difference. It makes all the difference in the world. One person, one child, is so beautiful to hear the Word of God and to be led to Him. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for the privilege of serving you. Thank you, Father, for being with us together, Father, the many-membered body, rightly fitted and joined, Father, that the truth marches on, the truth frees souls. And we thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' precious name. Amen, amen.
The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast? Many false teachers would have you believe it will be a tattoo on your forehead or a computer chip implanted under your skin. It is getting late in the game. You need to know what the Mark of the Beast is. As it's written in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, many will be deceived. There is no need for you to be deceived. Christ said in Mark 13, 23, "Behold, I have foretold you all things." Jesus indeed told us how not to be deceived, and Pastor Arnold Murray takes you on a step-by-step study of God's Word concerning this critical subject, the Mark of the Beast. The telephone call is free. The CD is free. We don't even ask for the shipping and handling. It is free as well. All you need to do is call 800-643-4645 to request your one-time, one-per-household copy of the Mark of the Beast. You may also request your free CD by mailing your request to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Don't be deceived by Satan.
And your announcer at the end of the hour will give you our mailing address. You got a prayer request. You don't need the number. You don't need an address. Why? God knows you. You're his child. And he loves you. What he wants from you is your love. So let him know. It pays great dividends. Father, around the globe, we come, we ask that you lead, guide, direct, Father. Touch in Yeshua's precious name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Okay, and we'll get into some questions. We're going to take Mona from South Dakota. My question is this. When we die and our soul returns instantly to the Father in heaven, what determines which side of the gulf we go to? Well, that's real simple. It's written in the book. You see, this is why church letters do not do you any good. Because your real church letter is in heaven. It's in the book of life. And every time you sin, it's written there. Every time you do a good work for God, it's written there. And every time you repent, the sin is erased. The good remains. Unless you... It is written that good works can cover a group of sins. So that's the Father's judging, and that's His choice. But it is written in heaven exactly what you've done. Our Father knows, and you instantly, by the book of life, you go to that side of the gulf that you belong in. Okay? And so it is. Luke 16, Christ's parable of Lazarus and the rich man, make it pretty clear. Okay? The state of degradation that the rich man saw, he wasn't really in hell. It just felt like it, because he always had everything handed to him on a platter, and now he knew he missed the whole boat. And there was the old beggar, Lazarus, over there in the with the bosom of Abraham, being loved by Almighty God and all the riches of the world, and he was without. That would be hell for him. But judgment would come, and we'll see whether he goes in the lake of fire or not. Bertha from Florida. Question. I know the Lord is able to do anything, but when a person can write and speak 20 languages, does the Lord give this or as a gift? Or is it a gift he gives and we achieve it by study? Well, you know, naturally, language, literature, and learning foreign languages or unknown tongues, as some would say, is a gift. Okay, to be able to, I'm saying, to learn 20. There are very few people in this world that could understand 20 different languages. It pushes some of us quite far to be able to waddle through maybe four or five languages. It's quite a struggle. And some of us have great difficulty even with English, okay, one of the hardest languages in the world. But, yeah, I would say that anyone that could do 20 languages, then you've got the miracle of the end times when both sons and daughters are delivered up. And they speak in every language of the world all at one time, because it's not them that speak, but the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, the tongue of Pentecost. Luella from Ohio. How do you think the two witnesses will be recognizable from anyone else? They can cut it. Their ability. Your ability or your credentials. You know, you can have a list of DDs, BBs, and BSs behind your name a mile long. And that means nothing in the world. Okay, literally. It's whether or not you can cut it. Okay, your ability. Is it a God-given gift? Or have you learned it the hard way? I don't know. God knows. But you can tell almost instantly whether someone is God-gifted or not because of their ability. And you know, well, does that make them special? Nope. Because God gave them the gift. God has to get all the credit. Okay. And that's the beautiful part of it, is that God is not a respecter of persons. He treats us all exactly the same, whether he gives someone a gift or doesn't. And then all are gifted, as that prior question about 20 languages when sons and daughters are delivered up, as it's written in Mark 13, and the Holy Spirit speaks through them in all languages of the world all at the same time. That's beautiful. That's God. That's our Father. Seth from Pennsylvania, could you please document for me how long Antichrist will be here on earth? Is his time shortened to 5 months? And if so, where is this in the Bible? Please correct me if I'm wrong. No, you're right, and you must have heard me or someone say that before, because that's exactly what it is shortened to, is 5 months. You can document the shortening in Mark chapter 13, because Christ promised he would shorten it. But the actual shortening itself to 5 months is written in the ninth chapter of the great book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 9. Cass from North Carolina. My 7-year-old son suffers from severe autism. They tell us that he will never live a total independent life, always needing care. Physically, he is very robust, and that's wonderful. That's good. a friend disagrees because of this affliction, but a friend disagrees, and rather than saying an affliction, he says that all are guilty of sin and must repent. I don't think I will ever know sin. I don't think the boy will ever know sin and is already saved by grace. Please elaborate. Well, you know, you've always got these ratchet jaws, religionist, legalist. Okay, it's the same group that came up to Job and they said, Job, you've sinned. God would not allow this to happen to you unless you were the worst sinner on earth. Okay. Well, Job didn't sin at all. And God finally told him in the 38th chapter, stop listening to ratchet jaws that don't have any idea what they're talking about. I paraphrased that just a little bit. That's the proper translation. Okay? Exactly as it's written. That's what God said. They don't know what they're talking about. And then he tells Job about how he created the earth. Where were they or he when he did that? And so you get a knucklehead like this, don't you even listen to it. I apologize for him and his ignorance. Okay? That Matthew chapter 4 documents that there are sin by evil spirits and there are diseases. And autism, certainly not by an evil spirit or caused by sin. It is an illness. And you love that child. You know, God sends a child like that to real special parents. So I love you both because you're there and you have this child and you love them and take care of them and don't pay attention to a bunch of hypocrites. Okay? Well, are you judging her friend? Yep, I sure am. He doesn't know what he's talking about. And he's making this family feel real bad. He deserves what I said. Paul from Nebraska. It seems like the Bible and God's law are trying to make people perfect. How do you know that sin is, and how do you know what sin is and knowing what's right and what's wrong to follow God's laws? It would be very hard. Please explain. Well, it's real easy. First Epistle of John, chapter 3, verse 4. I'm going to say it again for you because I want you to write it down. The First Epistle of John, chapter 3, verse 4. It explains to you what sin is. Sin is to transgress God's law. Now, God doesn't expect us to be perfect. Lord only knows. He knows we're not. He knows you're not. And that's why Christ paid the price on the cross that on repentance our sins are forgiven for the time being. In other words, we'll probably sin again. But he has that built in. So he knows we're not going to be perfect. As a matter of fact, the only time the word perfect is translated from the Greek into English, it should have been translated mature. Because a mature person knows we're in a sinful world and knows that sin, as that first epistle of John, chapter 3, verse 4, will tell you, sin is to transgress God's commands, His law. And anytime you transgress one of them, you're going to get in trouble. The law was really good. It keeps us out of trouble. But we're not perfect. You're not going to get perfect in the flesh either. We just do our best. Kathy from Pennsylvania. You're welcome. I enjoy teaching in our ministries here. I have many questions, but will be brief. I'm an older woman, but I'm young in the Lord. Well, that's fantastic. Number one, will you please give me the name of the lady and the year that the flyaway theory started? 1832, her name was Margaret McDonald, and we have a book titled The Incredible Cover-Up that goes into much detail. Verse 2, chapter, second question, where in the Bible can I find a statement about a person that mistreats his animals or no good? not exact quote, but similar. Well, I like to use Luke 15:4, where Christ himself gives a parable. He said, if a man, about animals, related to people, but still about animals, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them goes astray, he'll leave 99 and go after that one because he loves that animal. And God expects men to love his animals and take care of them. So I like to use Luke 15:4 and let Christ be the example. What is meant in Mark chapter 9, verse 48? Well, it's talking about if your eye offends you, pluck it out in the 47th verse. What it's saying is, if you belong to a church, that they're not exactly, in other words, all the churches make up the body of Christ. One's an eye, maybe one's a mouth, one's a leg. And let's say that if one of them that's an eye gets clear off base and starts teaching something else, then cut yourself away from them. Because it's better to love God and lose that particular church than to go to hell, okay? And the 48th verse, of course, Christ said to go to Gehenna. Gehenna is translated hell, but it's the garbage pit where it burns night and day and the worms move in and out of dead animals. It was Christ's example of hell, okay? It meant separate yourself from false teachings. That's what it means, okay? I hope that helps you. Larry from Illinois, I understand that we all will not see the grave. Those of us that will not see the grave, will we be transfigured? Well, let's just stick to the word. What does it say? Paul, probably the greater teacher concerning that subject, would be 1 Corinthians 15, verse 52. And he said, don't be surprised about this, don't be ignorant about it, that at the seventh trump, in the twinkle of an eye, we're all, that's the good, the bad, and the ugly, okay, are all going to be what? Changed. Just simply the word changed. Changed what? Changed from flesh into the spiritual body. It's going to happen that quick. So I prefer to use the name word changed into a different dimension. Winnie from North Carolina, where in the Bible does it talk about the dead? My sister keeps criticizing someone who died connected with our family. I would like to know what scripture to quote to her about this. I love your program and it helps me so much. Thanks. Well, you are so welcome. I'm going to tell you what. Make a note of Romans chapter 14, verses 10 through 13. Don't judge your brother. Judge not that you be not judged. God is the judge, and when you start judging other people, he's going to turn it right around on you, and it's going to hurt. So I'm what that one person is doing, and she's judging. What's worse than ever, really, the dead who are already with the Lord. And that could bring some things down on her head, okay? Be that as it may. Jeanette from Arkansas. I finally found someone that teaches the truth. Praise Yahshua. Well, you're welcome. The so-called men and women preachers, I'm going to stop right there. I don't judge television preachers and teachers, okay? I simply say, if it's a false teacher, then you yourself must make your mind up about that. But God didn't want us to judge people, just to teach God's word and not judge other people. And you can tell by listening, God gives each of us spiritual discernment. And you can tell by discernment, in line with God's word, whether they're being truthful or not. And good to have you with us. God bless you. Russell from New Jersey. Recently, one of your questions and answers, some asked about demons. You said there are no demons, but there are evil spirits. Well, that's what the manuscripts call them, okay? as evil spirits or familiar spirits. You said that they're evil spirits, people. You said they were evil spirits, people who did not or would not return to heaven. Please explain this to me. You misunderstood. Okay, it seems like I've had that question before. You are supposed to, in Christ's name, in the power of Jesus Christ, order the evil spirit back where it came from, which is heaven. You don't, in other words, Christ one time allowed them to go into swine by their request. Why? Because Christ gave us then the authority in his name to send them back where they came from. But you misunderstood me. We're not to give them a choice if they're going back where they came from. We order them in the name of Jesus Christ to go back where they came from, okay? Not a matter of giving them any slack at all, okay? But there are evil spirits, and you can rest assured. Michelle from Pennsylvania. When I try to plant a seed with others about God and Jesus, I tell them about the first earth age and Satan's rebellion and what God split himself off to send Jesus to us in flesh for this earth age. Is that okay to explain it like that, or am I being disrespectful? Well, I wouldn't call it disrespectful. It might be quite a load for somebody for the first time. You might be a little more gentler and just give them one little part of that at a time, and then have them, if it grows, then if that seed grows, they're going to come back to you and ask for more. And that's when you begin to take them deeper and deeper and deeper. But don't overload somebody's donkey just the first time they'll listen to you, or you'll burn them. They can't handle it. Okay, you got to do it gently, a little bit at a time. I know what hooked me is when a man told me, "Isn't it wonderful to know where America is mentioned in the Bible?" And I said, yes, I want to know that. And that planted a seed that got this person going many, many, many years ago. So you just plant gently and let God do this. We can't make a seed grow. We can plant them, but we can't make them grow. God must make it grow. And you have to give God time to accomplish that. Phil from Nevada. If I may ask, what was the actual mark Cain had to bear as the mark of the curse? Well, it's an evil spirit, and a Christian can discern that spirit. Okay, and what color was Adam and Eve? I'm not a racist, but this seems to be a hot topic over here, and I would like to hear your input. Well, what does Adam mean in the Hebrew tongue? It means ruddy complected. So it tells you what his color is by his name. That's why God named him that, ruddy complected, or the Hebrew to show blood in the face, or same thing, ruddy complected. Betty from Tennessee, what is Eph-Adam, and what does that mean when you speak about Adam? Well, there are two different Adams that God created. One is just plain Adam, okay? And then he rested the seventh day, and on the eighth day, he created Eph Ha'adam, means the man, Adam, a special man. Why? Because through him would come Christ, that is to say, through Mother Eve. That's why she's the mother of all living. And you might say, well, how could that be? Well, because Christ would come through her, umbilical cord to umbilical cord. And you either believe in him or you're not living. So she is the mother of all living, okay? So when you say Eph Ha'adam, that is in the Hebrew manuscripts of the second man, Adam, that was created, okay? If that doesn't come through to some, just put it on the shelf. The next time we teach Genesis, you'll get it real good. This is why we have many races in the world today. God created them, and there's no reason for racial tension. God looked, and it was good, and with dignity we treat each race. Ann from North Carolina. My question is, in Isaiah chapter 14, verses 14 through 17, is this when Satan will be brought to the lake of fire with the fellow followers, and they truly see him for what he is? And is this at the, after the great white throne judgment? No. When they look into the pit and say, is this the man that deceived the world? Speaking of Lucifer, that bright morning star, that's what he calls himself. That's during the millennium. And you can read in Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 and 2, where he's cast into that abyss, that they look in and they can see him there. Okay? And it is my opinion that Michael is the one that does that. And he is locked there, locked in the pit for 1,000 years. And then he's released for a short season to test those people that were converted during the millennium. Will they make it? Some of them will. Some of them won't. How do I know that? Because it's written that many will still fall. They will not take part in the second resurrection, as it's written in Revelation chapter 20, and they will go into that lake of fire, which is what Christ would talk about Gehenna, as earlier spoken of. And I am out of time. I love you all because you enjoy studying our Father's Word, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Most of all, you know what? God loves you for it. He truly does. When you read the letter that he has sent to you, it makes his day. And when you make his day, he's going to make yours. We are brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Once you do that, you bless God. He will always, I do mean always, bless you. Now, what's most important? It's this, that you stay in his word every day. Every day in his word, even with trouble. Still a good day. You know why? Because Jesus is the living word.